If you had to pick a place to guess where children are the happiest in the world, where would you guess? The United States, where kids have many advantages, but also many live in poverty. One of the Scandinavian countries where the welfare state is well established and the social safety net is so strong? No and no. By several measures, the Netherlands is the place to find happy children. Our guest this hour is one of the two authors of the book, The Happiest Kids in the World, How Dutch Parents Help Their Kids by Doing Less. Michelle Hutchison is one of the authors. She's the one joining us today. Both of the authors are raising children in the Netherlands. Michelle is originally from England and has gained a bit of esteem as a translator of Dutch literature. And Rena Mae Acosta is an American expat who also married a Dutchman and is living in the Netherlands. So, Michelle Hutchison, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello. Yeah, nice to talk to you.
Well, good to have you here. Let's deal with the who said first. Who said Dutch kids are the happiest, and by what measures?
That was UNICEF, and it was based on several long-running studies that took place in 29 developed countries and looked at different aspects of a child's life.
Well, the obvious.
The Netherlands came top.
Okay, so the listeners are obviously going to wonder first where the United States shows up on that scale.
They came 26.
Really? Netherlands at the top of the list, and the United States 26?
Yeah, unfortunately.
So what are the countries grouped around us? I mean, how do we compare with the other countries on that list?
Oh, gosh, I don't have it right in front of me, so I can't tell you that off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
Okay. And where does your native UK come in on this list?
They came 16th.
Okay, so a little higher than the United States. All right,
yeah.
So a number of things to keep in mind here about the ways in which well-being is measured, and there's a pretty good list here at the beginning of the book for what Dutch kids experience. More sleep, less homework in elementary school, and unsupervised play, yet more time with parents. Is it just the way that the Dutch kids have always been raised, or is there a more of a concerted sort of societal effort here?
I think the Dutch have stuck to their traditional way of raising children, whereas I think in America and England, for example, things have changed a lot in the last 20 years, whereas Dutch parents now are raising their children the same way they were raised themselves.
Okay, so one of the things that you mentioned about Dutch kids is you have to get past their blunt communication style. Tell us about that.
They're taught to speak their mind. Everyone is equal in Dutch society, so children are respected and allowed to have their own voice. They're expected to be seen and heard, unlike in England, obviously, where you're supposed to be seen and not heard. So they grow up learning to say exactly what they think and being open and communicative. And you see that they have a better relationship with adults as a consequence, I think.
Their parents included in those adults?
Sorry?
Their parents included in the adults they have good relations with?
Yeah, sure. They have actually, in terms of communication with parents, they scored at the top of the study that was part of the UNICEF results.
Okay. You and Rena Mae Acosta, your co-author, come from different places, the U.S. and the U.K. And as you two compare notes about the countries you came from, do they seem to have very similar parenting styles now?
They do, although I think the United States is a little bit more extreme in some things. Obviously, there are differences as well between Britain and America. The British are much more class-obsessed, which I don't think you have there. And the Americans are more ambitious in terms of, I think, their careers and earning money and that kind of thing.
You do write of the anxiety that parents in both places often feel in the U.S. and the U.K. Why do you suppose we get ourselves into such an anxious state as parents?
I think it's not the parents' fault as such, but the culture as a whole. So things like newspapers and the media pointing out risks all the time. So, you know, there could be a paedophile living near you and stories about accidents and all that kind of thing. There's a kind of an alarmist society. So it's hard for parents to kind of put things in perspective.
So then flip it around. Why don't Dutch parents seem to feel that anxiety?
Well, first of all, they're a lot more, they're very practical in nature and quite down to earth, and they look at the real risks. So they're really focused here on, for example, teaching their children to ride their bikes safely, since that would be one of the most dangerous things that Dutch children have to do is go out in traffic. And they also teach them to swim at an early age because of all the water around us. So they're really focusing on what are the real risks to my child and how can I protect them that way.
Now, bicycles are really transportation for a lot of people in the Netherlands, aren't they?
Yeah, most people, actually, there are more bikes than people. There are 1.3 bikes per person here.
Okay, so that's one of the reasons you're going to teach a kid to ride a bicycle. This is actually a way to get around, and as you point out, in traffic. It's not just around the quiet neighborhood streets.
No, it's also through city center traffic. My son has to go through the all the traffic to get to his secondary school, for example.
And your kids are Ben and Ina, is that right?
Ben and Ina, that's right.
Uh-huh. And how old?
Ben's nearly 13 now, and Ina is 10.
I know that in some cultures, particularly in America, there seems to be a sort of bracing for what happens when a child turns 13. Is that even a joke in Dutch culture, or is it something that...
Not really, no. I think the Dutch are quite pragmatic about teenagers. They carry on communicating with them well, so because Dutch families eat together around the dinner table, that's kind of sacrosanct in Dutch life, to eat dinner together as a family and to talk about everything that's going on. I think that improves relationships with teenagers. They don't just kind of go away and hide in their own room. They understand what teenagers are capable of. So, you know, they'll need to sleep a lot at the weekend, or their limitations are understood rather than them being tried to fit into some other idea of how we think teenagers should behave.
Much more to talk about with Michelle Hutchison, the co-author with Rena Mae Acosta of The Happiest Kids in the World. And it's about kids in the Netherlands who, by many measures of UNICEF, the United Nations International Children's Fund, I think is what it used to stand for, measures the well-being of children around the world. We'll come back and talk more with Michelle about her efforts and what it's like raising a child, two children, in the Netherlands with a Dutch husband. We'll come back and talk more with her. While we go to the break, let me remind you that it is the midst of spring fund drive time here on JPR. We're looking for pledges of support to ijpr.org and 888-552-6191. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Hutchison and your phone calls and emails about parenting in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about where kids are the happiest in the world, and as measured on several scales by UNICEF, that would be the Netherlands, which is where Michelle Hutchison lives now with her husband Martin and children Ben and Ina. She is from the UK originally. Her co-author, Rena Mae Acosta, is from the US originally. Similar circumstances, married a Dutch man, raising children in the Netherlands. They've co-written a book called The Happiest Kids in the World, How Dutch Parents Help Their Kids by Doing Less. And there's an asterisk in there. They help themselves as well. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about what's different about the Dutch parenting system and how we might emulate that. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation. Comments or questions by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. So let me tick off some of those early measures that we talked about, that kids do spend more time with their parents. They get more sleep. They get less homework. They are unsupervised a fair amount. So let's come back to the time with the parents. I suspect that right off the bat, this had something to do with how much Dutch parents work. And Michelle, how does that compare with other countries?
Yeah, there's a part-time work culture here, so which brings down the average hours worked per week to 29 hours a week. And even full-time is 36 hours. So people tend to leave the office at 5, and I know that probably sounds like a dream to many Americans, but they leave the office at 5, and it's quite normal for everyone to leave and to go home to their families.
And so this obviously makes things like what we talked about just before the break possible, like having dinner every night with the kids. There's some real sort of cultural norms in Dutch society, it sounds like, that are very closely observed.
Yes, I would agree with that. So no one even questions leaving work to go and pick up your kids and have an early dinner with your family.
How uniform, I wonder, though, is Dutch society, particularly in the opportunity to rise in status and income and stuff like that?
There's less of a gap between rich and poor than America, certainly, where I think you have quite a large gap. Part of that is due to heavy taxation. But also there's a kind of anti-hierarchical stance in offices. For example, if you work and you've got a boss, your boss won't be treated, you won't treat your boss any differently from your colleagues, and he won't look down on you or she won't look down on you. So within the working culture, everyone is seen as a kind of team, and I think that's very different too.
Is there any sort of built-in reserve, any sense of Dutchness that is widely understood?
By outsiders or by Dutch people themselves?
By Dutch people themselves. Something you had to get to learn, I guess, as an outsider.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose a kind of practical, pragmatic approach to life, kind of being down to earth, not putting on any airs or graces, saying what you think, just being who you are. All those things are very Dutch.
Mm-hmm. What does the expression, I'm going to probably mangle it here, but doe normaal?
Doe maar normaal, yeah. Just be normal. And that's crazy enough is the full expression. So don't try too hard. Don't go to too many extremes.
And how does that express itself in things like parenting?
That would be used to. I mean, parents can kind of drive themselves crazy doing everything for their kids, running around taking them to all kinds of classes, or worrying about them. And a Dutch person's response to that would be "Doe maar normaal." It means calm down in a way. You know,
okay.
don't stress out so much. Give yourself a break, you know.
And that seems like what the real cornerstone of the whole approach to parenting and so many other things it sounds like in Dutch society is like don't give yourself a cramp. Just take it easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Work-life balance here is very important. So nothing should be done to any extreme.
Michelle Hutchinson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book with Rina May Acosta is The Happiest Kids in the World, about kids in the Netherlands. Explain, Michelle, if you would, how you and Rina divided up the book.
She's got younger children. Hers are 1.5 and almost 5, and mine are older. So she took on the earlier years from childbirth and babyhood to the toddler years. And I took on the older, the school-age children.
So let's move into your own personal story. You did not apparently plan to raise your kids in the Netherlands, but what happened?
I had a really great job in London, and I was married to a Dutchman, but we were commuting. We had a kind of, well, you wouldn't call it long distance, but, you know, it's an hour flight. But we had a relationship that we met at the weekends in London or Amsterdam. And when I had the baby, I was planning to go back to London to my job there. Once I was here and with my baby, there were two things that struck me. One, that I was very foolish to think that I only needed a dad to be there at the weekends. And the other was I was foolish to go back to London when it would be much easier to raise my child here and also better for the child and better for me.
You knew that already from the time the child was born?
Yeah, I saw it when I started meeting other parents and seeing, looking into things like the Dutch school system. It really was a kind of no-brainer.
I have to wonder, aside from the contents of the book, if the departure of the UK from the European Union complicates your life at all.
It doesn't, although it will push me towards getting a Dutch passport, so becoming Dutch,
okay.
I think, in due course. Yeah.
So Rina writes in the book about the attitudes toward parenting that she noticed starting even before birth. I mean, what kinds of things did you and she hear when your children were coming and yet not here yet?
To relax, that it was a natural process, to use common sense, to listen to your intuition, those kind of things. So there weren't lots of rules and things you have to do or don't have to do or have to buy. It was more like, you know, don't worry about the birth, don't worry about breastfeeding, it'll all happen, it's all natural, those kind of things.
I love this detail. You had a birth plan with a doctor in the UK, apparently, and handed that to a Dutch midwife. And what did she say?
Oh, that's not going to happen. She was very, very much an old school midwife, and she believed that everyone should give birth at home, that was the most natural and least stressful way to have a baby, not heavily medicalized, but safely at home. And it is quite safe to give birth at home here because they have very well trained, experienced midwives. So that's also another key difference, I think.
Yeah, explain that too, because that was a really interesting point of the book. So the midwives have much more training than American midwives tend to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're trained to work independently. So the midwife would come to your house for the birth, I had my baby in the hospital because he was so late, he had to be induced. But she would have come to the house, and that would have, you know, all taken place in a kind of low-key environment without any kind of medication.
That explain that part, that without any kind of medication, there's a
yeah, I thought that was horrific, I must say. Yeah. I'd had this kind of plan with different kind of drugs I would have in different situations, pethidine or oxygen or things like that. But she told me that that wouldn't be possible at home, that natural endorphins would take over. I've heard from Dutch women that they do, and that giving birth at home can be a really positive experience, but I'm kind of glad I didn't have to experience it.
Have you had anybody who could compare notes, that who did a natural childbirth at home and then did?
Yes, lots of my Dutch friends have had their babies at home. Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I mean, has one of them had to go to the hospital as well? I'm just curious to know if anybody had two kids two different ways and could compare notes on those two.
Yeah, sometimes people go to the hospital part of the way through the labor, and that's, you know, in places where hospitals are really close by. I think Dutch people, Dutch women, they're brought up with the idea of home birth. It's not as terrifying to them as it was to me. And, you know, they love the idea of it all being natural and you're having everything, your own things around you. Friends and neighbors can drop by and things like that, which also seems like a really strange thought to me.
What are the expectations for mothers after birth in the Netherlands? Like when to go back to work and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on your situation. One of the best things here is that you get maternity nurses that come to your house and look after you once you're released from hospital, or if you just stay at home, they just come round. And they kind of teach you how to look after the baby, which I really needed because I'd never changed a nappy before. I didn't know how a baby worked. So they come and take care of you full-time in the first couple of weeks after you return home.
Had you started any kinds of classes in the UK before you moved to the Netherlands to have the baby? I'm just curious to know about what kinds of training are available for people who've never been parents before in the UK versus what's available in the Netherlands.
I'd been to birthing classes and pregnancy yoga, but they were really focused on the birth. They weren't focused on what happened after the birth. So I don't know how people in England know what to do if it's their first child.
We're talking.
What do you have in the States?
I don't honestly know, not having had kids myself, but a lot seems to be focused on having the baby come out, and then after that.
And then after that, I think you're kind of left to your own devices.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Michelle Hutchison here on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the co-author with Rena Mae Acosta of The Happiest Kids in the World, How Dutch Parents Help Their Kids by Doing Less. And by several measurements provided by UNICEF, Dutch kids are the happiest kids in the world. The United States is somewhere in the mid to low 20s. And Rena Mae comes to the United States. Michelle comes from the UK. So they teamed up on this book. And you can join us on the exchange with your thoughts, questions, comments, observations about parenting, either here or in what you're hearing from Michelle. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Not surprising to see this phrase, the Dutch are notoriously organized, the book says. How does that translate, though, into a child's first days after birth?
Oh, the 3 R's, yes. So they've got this rule of rust, reinheid, and regelmaat. So that's rest, cleanliness, and regularity. And they like to put their babies on a schedule so that the baby knows that it's going to get sleep and food at particular times. And that actually has a very calming effect on Dutch babies. They're not overstimulated. They're not taken to lots of different classes, or parents don't try to teach them things when they're little. They're allowed to kind of rest, play, sleep on a very regular routine.
Okay, so it's not like getting them ready for their great preschool or something, or get them.
No. I mean, it's about keeping them calm and quiet and happy and relaxed, and letting them develop at their own pace. So young children are never kind of pressurized to learn or perform here. So,
This is a really interesting concept on the particular part of getting into a routine where the child knows that when I feel this is likely to happen. When I feel hungry, I'll get fed, things like that. So so a lot of reassurance, it sounds like, in the early days of a child's life.
Yes, that's completely why they believe in it, that the child, the predictability of it all will help the child.
So on the one hand, you have this very routinized progress through the day, but as you point out further through the book, lots of freedom as the child grows and gets more independent. I mean, what form does that take in terms of keeping an eye on kids and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's it's very incremental. It goes in very small steps with a kind of gradual lengthening of the leash. So when children are maybe around 5 or 6, they'll first be allowed to play outside a little bit without their parents kind of hovering over them. Like mum might sit in the or stand in the kitchen and watch the child in the garden. And as they get older, they're gradually allowed to do a little bit more, like go to the park with an older friend or that kind of thing for half an hour, ride their bike to school on their own when they're 10, say, all those kind of things kind of gradually built up to. So they're not suddenly released out into the dangerous wide world. They're kind of gently coached to go a little bit further each time.
Your book references other books like Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, and I have to ask if this is sort of like a 180-degree version of that, just in the opposite direction completely.
Yes, and Rina, as she admits herself, had a tiger mother herself, so it's one of the things that made her really enjoy the Dutch system, thinking that she doesn't have to put her children under the pressure she felt as a child.
So zero in on some things that happen in a child's life really early on, like sleep. I mean, how much more do Dutch kids get, and why?
I think they get a lot more sleep because of the regularity and the routine, and having kind of fixed bedtimes. I mean, they go to school very early as young children, certainly compared to Southern Europe. I don't know what your bedtimes are like, but I mean, they would go to bed at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I read a study recently that Dutch adults get a lot of sleep as well, so I think Dutch people kind of tend to go to bed early themselves.
Okay. But the kids are not, they don't get training in sleep the way that the American kids tend to, that gets talked about in the United States, it sounds like.
You mean Ferberizing, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Leaving them to cry and then letting them sleep, or... Yeah. I mean, as Rina's anecdote in the book shows, she goes to the doctor because she wants to get her child to sleep and she wants the kind of magic routine. And the doctor keeps saying, you know, have patience, your child was premature and needs to catch up. And in the end, it turns out that her child has dictated the routine to her. And, you know, it's a very good payoff. Uh-huh. And also typically Dutch.
Let's take a call. We have Rebecca here. Not sure what community from, but welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Hutchison, the co-author of The Happiest Kids in the World.
Hi. I may have missed this earlier, but I wanted to know if the Netherlands has a high divorce rate and if there's a lot of blended family and step-parenting.
Oh, good question. Okay, so divorce rate and blended family step-parenting. Rebecca, thanks for that. Michelle, what do you think?
I'm sorry, I really don't know about divorce rates here. It's not something that we looked into with our book. What are blended families?
Blended families are when you remarry and you've got your kids from your first marriage.
Around me, I see plenty of second marriages and step parents and that kind of thing. Yeah.
And is there a fair amount of harmony in those, as well as the more traditional, you know, we've been with these kids since they were born kind of thing?
There does seem to be, but I'm afraid I'm not really an expert on that aspect of Dutch parenting.
Okay, we have another question here, set of questions actually, by email from Deb in Talent, who writes, what would happen if someone in the UK or US read the book and decided to raise their children like the Dutch? Would the neighbors call Child Protective Services, and would the kids be safe?
Yeah, I love that idea. I think we'd encourage people to try it. And the best thing is to work with a community, not just one family raising their children the Dutch way, but a whole street or a whole neighborhood. You need to build trust in the community. So, for example, I live on a street where if anything happened to any of the children, if they fell over or anything outside, then someone else along the street would help them. And I think most communities are like that. If people are more open about their fears, they'll find out actually people would support them.
All right, so if neighbors know each other, that's a real big help, it sounds like. So if you're gonna
absolutely. Yeah.
So if you're going to let your kids out of your eyesight, make sure somebody else has eyeballs on them, that sort of
that's
thing.
That's right, exactly. And if everyone along the street knows that sometimes someone's children are out playing in the front, then everyone always automatically looks out for the whole street.
Okay, the book is called The Happiest Kids in the World, How Dutch Parents Help Their Kids by Doing Less and Help Themselves in the Process. The co-authors are Michelle Hutchison, who's with us, and Rina May Acosta, who is not. We'll come back and talk more with Michelle in a couple of minutes. As we head to the next break, I want to let you know where things stand in the fund drive here at JPR. We just crossed $109,000 on our way to what we hope is an eventual goal of $200,000 by the time the pledge drive ends, and it'll be over one way or the other on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. So that's where things are going. It is a more important fund drive than we've had in a while because we have this proposal from the White House to zero out the budget for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, from which we get a good-sized chunk of money every year. So that is the backdrop for what's going on in this fund drive and why we are requesting a little more assistance than we usually do to try to buffer ourselves against what could be coming. And we're asking for pledges of support from you at IJPR.org online and on the phone at 888-552-6191. I have some people to thank: Jack Murphy and Delaine Dew, longtime friends of JPR, Angela Simpson in Medford. Good to hear from you. An anonymous call from Klamath Falls who says, I love having JPR there when I can't sleep at night to help me to drift off. Lori and Alan Rathsom in Ashland, good to hear from you. Jim and Kay Heath in Klamath Falls. An anonymous pledge from Ashland who says it's her drive to work companion, couldn't live without it. Rob and Dia Collins in Ashland, good to hear from you. Denny DeBay in Ashland from Ashland Forge has been listening since 1969. Says back in those days you had to be close to the college to hear it. So many more people to thank. We want to be able to get you on this list if you are so inclined, and we hope you're so inclined. 888-552-6191 and IJPR.org. We'll come back and talk more with Michelle Hutchison about the happiest kids in the world here on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about parenting in a different part of the world in the context of the book called The Happiest Kids in the World. Those happiest kids happen to be in the Netherlands by several measures provided by UNICEF. Number one, the Netherlands. The UK somewhere in the top 20, the United States somewhere in the top 30. So not as happy a set of kids here. And we're comparing some of the differences here. Michelle Hutchison is from the UK. Rena May Acosta from the United States. They teamed up to write the book, The Happiest Kids in the World. They are both married to Dutchmen and raising kids in the Netherlands. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Michelle, we touched briefly on the Dutch three R's, which in translated in English are rest, cleanliness, and regularity. So let's move on to the American three R's, which are actually an R, a W, and an A, but no matter. We would talk briefly about differences in education, but before school even starts, it sounds like Americans are really pushing their kids to learn lots of stuff. Nothing like that in the Netherlands, huh?
No, in fact, they're really encouraged to play. The idea is that if they can play a lot and learn to play with other kids, so socialize at an early age, they'll really reap the benefits of that later on, and that learning doesn't really need to happen until they're say, 6 or 7.
So do parents, I mean, I assume they read to kids and things like that, so kids are familiar with language and words and all that sort of thing.
Sure, I mean, there's a lot of books. People read bedtime stories to their children, but they're encouraged to learn at their own rate. So once they show interest in something, then they'll be provided with whatever they need. If they want to learn how to count, or if they want to learn how to read, then that's fine. But if they just want to play, which a lot of children do, then just let them play.
Now, what about when they get to school themselves? I mean, a lot of American anxieties in school about making sure the kids do well and that they get into good preschools and that sort of thing. And it sounds like there's probably a bit less of that in the Netherlands.
I think there's a lot less of that. And it's something I find really refreshing. I think in the UK there's also a similar kind of pressure on schools and on parents to pick the right schools and for kids to get the right grades. Let's start with preschool, kindergarten. When they're about 4 or 5, they'll really just, again, learn to play, learn, get used to a classroom environment. When they're 6 or 7, they'll start learning the 3 R's. And at which point they all learn it actually really fast. So by waiting with many children, you prevent learning from being something that they see as difficult or something that they're nagged about. They by then, if they can pick up reading and writing really quickly, then they'll enjoy it more, I think.
So when students do not do well in school there, though, what is the general response?
They've got a system where, again, it's about going at your own pace. So if you need a little extra time, so quite often children repeat a year at school. And if they're racing ahead and they're eager to learn, they could also skip a year at school and go ahead.
So I wonder about the cultural response to being smart, though. I mean, in America, you'll often have a kid who is doing good, fast work early gets derided for being a brain. Is there anything like that in Dutch culture?
Not really. I mean, the thing is to see the children as individuals, so some will be learning faster. That's not seen as something that will make them smarter or better at the end. I mean, the idea is that everyone turns into responsible, kind, caring adults. That would be the aim, not that a child would be the smartest. So being smarter isn't necessarily derided, but neither is it really praised.
Okay. You mentioned one of our favorite guests in your book. We've had Roman Kersnarik on the program a couple of times. Why is he in the book?
I read his book, How to Find Fulfilling, How to Find Work That You Love. Is it something like that?
Fulfilling Work, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it really inspired me to quit my job and go freelance. And that was why I talked to him about whether he had any ideas. I know he's raising his kids in England.
And do you compare notes with him about the differences?
Yeah, I do sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he thinks, obviously, as he said in the book, that children should be taught empathy, and that will benefit them in the long term rather than focus on the three R's.
So let's talk about general behavior, though. It sounds like Dutch kids have a bit of a rep in Europe, or at least certainly in the Netherlands, particularly in restaurants. Explain what happens there.
Yes, I mean, there are people who really complain about Dutch children being taken to restaurants and kind of running around and making a racket rather than sitting very quietly at the table eating their food like, say, a French family would do. So there are some diners who would rather that there were just restaurants where people could go without children. The thing is, children are welcome everywhere here.
So you can take a kid into a bar, for example, or any place.
Yeah, you can take a child everywhere, and the child can kind of play on its own because the parent won't be hovering over it.
So the hovering is a real key here, it sounds like, because I know you've probably heard the term, certainly from Rena, if not from any other people, but helicopter parenting.
I
don't know if it's something similar in the UK, but
it is, yeah.
All right, so that is not a concept that anybody seems to adhere to in the Netherlands.
Very few, at least. I mean, the majority of parents take a step back, a conscious step back, rather than a step forward, in the interest of teaching their child to be independent and to play independently, to learn to fall over and pick itself up again, rather than having the parent like hovering over and picking up the toddler as soon as it stumbles.
We have an email here from Jeff in Ashland who writes, I was born in 1960 in a small town in western Pennsylvania, and Michelle's description of hands-off neighborhood parenting sounds a lot like my upbringing. Most of my friends' parents treated us as their own, and we ran pretty free until the dinner bell started ringing. Is that similar to what goes on? You kids can get out of your sight and your earshot until it's time for dinner?
Yeah, that's the same kind of thing, yeah, and they know what time they're due back. So yeah, there are some rules. It's not like there are no rules or boundaries. So you would say be back at 5:30, and they'll come back at 5:30.
So what, I wonder, are the situations that demand discipline? I mean, if the kids are welcome in lots of places and pretty much run free in places like restaurants, I mean, when there is a call for discipline, what is the situation that would lead to a need for it, and how are Dutch kids disciplined?
Well, they need discipline in traffic. Obviously, they need to be taught safety. So that there's no kind of biking around screaming or anything like that. There's, you know, sensible behavior in traffic. Discipline, there isn't any heavy discipline here. There are rules and boundaries, and they're usually made in consultation with the child, at least with older children like mine are. So if you were sitting around a dinner table, you'd talk about social media use, for example, and why doctors recommend only half an hour a day, and then you'd explain that to the child and then talk about what would be reasonable for them.
Okay, half an hour a day. That leads to a question from Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Michelle Hutchison, the co-author of The Happiest Kids in the World.
Well, the last comment actually leads right into my question. I've been to England several times, and I've been to the Netherlands twice, and I noticed a lot less children being given telephones and tablets to play games with. And I was wondering if that is true and why the social media seems to be impeding on parenting.
All right, good question. That is Vincent Eugene, not Dennis, my mistake.
Yeah, I think one of the main things is that everyone here believes that the healthiest thing a child can do is go and play outside. So there's a real push to get them outside or to get them on their bikes or playing sports or skateboarding or whatever they want to do in the park rather than staying at home on a tablet. And I think if you're keeping a child in to protect your child because they're not used to going outside on their own, then it would be, as a matter of course, you'd end up with them wanting to play on the tablet or on the phone.
So while you have this book out that the rest of the world is reading about the happiest kids in the world from the perspective of somebody who moved to Netherlands, there's also a book, I understand, there called, in translation, Why? Because I Said So. How's that book going over?
I haven't actually read it, no. It's a book by a comedian who was brought up the Surinamese way. There was a group of people who live in Holland who came from the old colony of Suriname. Where they believe in corporal punishment and in very strong discipline. So, I think it's quite a funny book. I don't think it's a very heavy-handed book.
Okay, it's meant to be funny. All right. Well, it's been interesting getting a little examination of what happens with parenting in other parts of the world. The book is called The Happiest Kids in the World, How Dutch Parents Help Their Kids by Doing Less and Help Themselves in the Process. Michelle Hutchison from the UK, married a Dutch man, is raising her children, Ben and Ina, in the Netherlands. Rena May Acosta, similar situation. She's from the United States, married a Dutch man, and they got together for this book. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange, Michelle.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you.
Okay, good to talk to you.